And with an economy that's very sluggish, we all feel the effect, and we're all in this together. So as we talk about this message today, I want you to realize that it's not necessarily just talking about money. It's really talking about what God wants to do in your life and about being dependent upon Him. About being dependent upon God. Now, last time I talked about finances, tithing, tithes and offerings and stuff, Pastor Daniel used my props and put them in his pocket. Well, I have a fix for him this time. So anytime, brother. There you go. Listen, God has priority for us. And God wants to do great things inside of us. And God wants to do great things in our finances. But the only way He can do that is if we're totally dependent upon Him. Really trust Him for who He is and what He wants to do in your life. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Verse 41 through 44. Gary Patton said this. He said, "Nothing, absolutely nothing happens till parents stop clenching their fist around precious things and people. Let go and trust God." That as long as we're trying to hold on to everything and trying to hold on to people and hold on to all the precious things that we have around us, all those valuable things that we consider valuable anyway, as long as we're holding them and not saying, "God, it's all yours. God, everything you've given me is yours. I trust you completely with my future and my finances." Till we say that, boy, we miss out on what God really wants to do. Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. Now let's get the picture here of what's going on. Jesus is sitting in the temple. And He's sitting across from the offering box. And the offering box then was really a tube shaped. It was kind of a trumpet-shaped flask that went down, and people would come by and put their money in this trumpet, is what they called it. And when the money would hit bottom, it would make an echoing sound. It sounded like a trumpet blowing inside of the temple. So we begin reading. Verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw large sums of money, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live in." Let's pray together. Father God, today I pray that You would help us. Open our eyes to even when things are not going great in our life, and our finances, and our job loss, and our hours cut back. God, You're still in control. You are still Lord of our life. And Father, You still look for our faithfulness. No matter what life situation bring, God, You're still looking for us to be faithful and obedient to You. God, may we as a church, may we as a believer, each individual person and family, begin to evaluate and analyze, God, where we are with You in obedience. God, You have great things in store, blessings that are only a mystery to us. And Father, You want to bless us. Bless us for our obedience and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message speaks about faithful giving. And on the surface can be taken as an endorsement of tithes and offerings if we just look at that. But there's a deeper message that Christ is trying to tell His disciples, but also to us. See, the Lord taught more about money than He did about heaven. Did you know that? That God taught more in the New Testament. Christ taught more about money than He did about heaven. but focus a lot of times on heaven, but people say, oh, don't talk about the finances I have. Well, let's be real. Everything I make, God gave. Everything you make, God gave. We're all in this together. See, money is one of the favorite topics of Christ because people's worship can easily be placed on their finances, easily be placed on their money. A lot of people say, well, I don't worship my money. Do you know the love of money is the root of all evil? The love of money is the root of all evil. So I don't worship my money. Listen, if you're not being honest with God and God says, minimum, if you give me my part, which is that 10%, you have the other 90% to live off of. If we're taking from God's 10%, then we're stealing from God. And money really is our God, not Jehovah. This passage is not only about giving in faith, but it's about sacrifice. It's about commitment and total dependence on God to sustain us. Are you really dependent on God to sustain you? Or are you dependent upon your job? Or are you dependent upon your education? Or are you dependent on some outside source other than God? This unnamed widow in this account provides an excellent example of what being totally dependent on God really looks like. See, Jesus had been teaching all day. Let's get the total picture here. Jesus had been teaching all day. It was about 1 week before his crucifixion time. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, all of these temple leaders were questioning Jesus as he taught. And Jesus had enough of it. They were trying to trick him up because he had this great following of people, and they really felt intimidated about it. So they were really trying to trip Jesus up. The few verses right before what we just read, in verse 38 through 40, Jesus says this about the scribes and Pharisees. He says, watch out for the teachers of the law, for they like to walk around with their flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace and the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Jesus left that type of confrontation to go sit in a temple across from the offering box. Get the picture of what he saw. Here he is. Pretend you're Jesus. You're sitting across from the offering box. And you're just watching. You watch as people go by with the coffee can they dug out of the backyard. And they're putting great sums of money. Oh, it makes this echoing sound. The larger the amount of money that would go in, the louder it would sound. And there was great praise for that. And Jesus noticed their pride. Jesus noticed their arrogance about what they were doing. But then he noticed this poor little widow lady coming up. You imagine this frail little lady opening up, probably didn't even have a wallet, just a little rag from her house, reaching in there and putting in all that she had and going on about her business. And Jesus says, hey guys, come see. He calls his disciples around him. Come see this. Her gift was far greater than all of theirs. Why? Jesus wasn't looking at the amount. There was no way her two little copper coins, called mites, those two little copper coins could even match the gold and silver that these others were putting in. But you see, Jesus was looking at the heart. And when he saw their hearts, he saw that her gift was far more than all of the rest of the gold and silver that everyone else had placed. There's several lessons that we can learn from this passage. The first lesson is this, is that God watches what we give. Everything we do, whether in public or in secret, is seen by Almighty God. That God watches everything about us. So even what we give, God watches. Verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite place where the offerings were put and watched his crowd put their money inside. These middle class and these wealthy people who were going around, they really wanting to look good in the eyes of everyone else. They weren't worrying about what God was looking at. They were worried about what everyone else would see and say. Jesus made note of the way that the wealthy would give their money, and he saw this poor widow who approached the offering box, and he quickly called these men because there was a great lesson. And listen, he calls us today because there's a great lesson for us to learn in this passage. When her two little mites hit the bottom of that offering trumpet, no great noise was heard. No one turned to see. No one began to look and applaud of what they gave, what she gave. No, only Jesus took note of it. And Jesus also notes what we give. You see, he watches as the plates are passed around in this church. If you belong to another church, when the baskets are passed or the box you go by, whatever, Jesus takes note. Did you ever think about that? There's not what other people around you notice what you give, because it's really none of their business. It's between you and God. But God is looking at your heart about the multiplied wealth that he's giving you. What are you doing with it? Or are you saying, God, I give out of gratitude and total dependence on you. I give out of gratitude. God, you are my priority. In everything I do, God, you are my priority. Like this scene in the temple, Jesus looks for our faith and our motivation in giving. Do you give out of gratitude, love, and dependence on God, or do you give with wrong motives? Or do you give it all? See, Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Eric Lundy said it this way, don't try to build me into your life anymore. Instead, build your life around me. He's talking about God. I said, listen, don't just put something in for me, but listen, build your whole life around me. I have more for you than just what you can see. That God pays attention to what we do, how we give. When the plates are passed, month in, month out, Sunday in, Sunday out, whatever it may be, are you and God being faithful? Are you really saying, God, I give out of gratitude? I give, God, because I appreciate everything that you do. And God, I give out of total dependence on you. That if I lost my job tomorrow, God, you will provide. If I had to lose some things in my life, if I had to lose a few things, you're still there. God, if I had to trade the new truck in and drive an old one, God, you're still there. God, if I had to move out of the big house to a smaller one, God, you're still there. Never be afraid to be honest with God. He created you. He knows you. He saved you. Everything in your life, everything in my life, is given by him. And if he chose to take some of it away, that's his desire. That's his will. You know why? Because he will replace it with something far better. That's just how good God is to us. That even though he removed some stuff, and we thought we couldn't live without it, oh yes. Are you living dependent upon God today? He watches what goes on in here. The second lesson we can learn is God does not measure sacrifice by the size of gift, but by the cost to the giver. It's not a question of what we have to give or what I have given, but am I giving in faith with total dependence on God? Do you genuinely trust God as the provider in your life? Or are you trusting him? Or do you trust your job? Do you trust the government? Do you trust your parents, et cetera, whoever it may be? Whoever supplies your needs right now, physical needs, are you dependent upon them or are you really dependent upon God? Jesus watched how people gave, not necessarily what they gave. See, Jesus saw beyond just the coins hitting in the bottom of this trumpet, making this loud sound. He wasn't impressed by that. He was impressed by the faithfulness. He wasn't impressed by the large offerings. He was impressed by the large faith this lady had. Verse 43, he says, calling his disciple to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. This widow was a pauper. She demonstrated the purity of her faith in God by giving all that she had. That was not just a portion of her offering. She gave it all. Everything. She gave according to her faith. The others placing their money in the trumpet offering box were giving from their leftovers. From their leftovers. Yeah, after all the bills were paid, their vacation money was put aside, their recreation money, the money they wanted to go out to eat with, the money they wanted to go to the show with, all the money that they wanted to spend on themselves, that's what their offerings were given out of, the leftovers. After all of this stuff is done for us, this is what we have left, we will give. And listen, it was still gold and silver. It was still much, but it was done with wrong motives. They gave after all their bills and groceries were purchased, bills were paid. Their giving did not require any faith. It did not suggest any dependence on God. Their giving created noise to show for their financial means. Maybe today you too haven't been exhibiting faith in your giving. So as you work your job and have this financial means to pay your way through life, you've been doing it in your own power and your own effort in all the things that you do. Say, no, I've done this myself. I've got my education. I've got my training. I've got this job. I've been at this job for 10, 15 years. I've done this. Really? I beg to differ. The only way that you breathe is because of God. The only way that your heart beats is because of God. The only way that you have the ability to think rationally is because of God. So all the things that you take credit for has really been God all along. And until we are men and women enough and humble enough to admit that God really is in control of everything, we will continue to fool ourselves and we will not show any faith at all. God does not appreciate marginal faith. Today we must step out in faith with what we have in our possession and trust God to open doors for us. Maybe today you are unemployed. Maybe you've seen your hours cut back and your monthly finances gone down. Maybe you've even lost your job. Maybe you're just working odd and end jobs just to try to keep the lights on, keep a bill paid. But you really truly desire to be faithful to God in your going, but you just don't think you can. There are many times I talk to people who say, Brother Kevin, I want to give to God, but I just don't know if I can do it. I just really don't know if what I'm bringing in, I can give that up. This is where faith steps in. You see, we can say that we're people of faith, but until we walk by faith, live by faith, our faith means nothing at all. So if we're living off an unemployment check and we're getting $200 a week unemployment, what should I do? Be honest with God and give him his $20. 10%. That's a lot of money off of $200. Yes, it is. But what you're doing is saying, God, I trust you even when I don't have anything. When I don't have much and things around me don't look good, God, I trust you. And I'm dependent upon you. And you know what God would do? He'll begin to open doors for you. Where your future looks so bleak and you just don't know how things are going to work out for you, God said, I'll honor your faith. I'll honor your dependence. I'll take care of you. And he'll do it. He'll do it. See, the money is not for God. Giving acknowledges his lordship over your life, your family, your current situation. When you say, God, here, I don't have much, but God, Here's your portion, God. God is saying, I see that. I see your heart, and I know you trust me. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, Paul records the testimony of the Macedonian church. Oh, listen to this great testimony. Paul writes this. He says, now I want to tell you what God in his grace has done for the churches of Macedonia. He says, though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, they have mixed their wonderful joy with deep poverty. And the result has been an overflowing giving to others. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And I can testify that they did it because they wanted to and not because nagging on my part. They begged us to take the money so that they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem. God took these Christians who were in poverty, who were unemployed, who were going through difficult times, and they pulled their money together, and they put it, said, God, we trust you with this, and God, we trust your kingdom where you're going. And Paul says their joy overflowed. God took care of their needs. Like these other early believers who had financial hard times, we too are called upon to give faith, given faith that God may bless our finances and count our faith as genuine, just as Jesus did this poor widow lady who trusted God with the outcome of her life. She gave everything she had. She was desperately dependent upon God. What about you? Have you been desperately dependent upon yourself or desperately dependent upon God? Rick Rowan said this, dedication is writing your name on the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and handing it to the Lord for Him to fill out. When we say yes to Jesus, it's really doing this. God, I'm writing my name on the bottom of a page, empty page. Here it is. Do what you want with me. And if we do anything short of that, we're saying that we're saved, but there's stipulations. And Jesus won't have anybody with stipulations. It's God, I'll follow you at all cost. I'll follow you no matter where you go. What about you today? Have you said, yes, Jesus, here's a blank sheet of paper with my name on it. Do what you want with every part of my life. Third lesson learned from this is that God will be a debtor to no one and will multiply that which faith is invested for him. By faith is invested in him. God will be a debtor to no one. And he'll multiply that which by faith has been invested in him. The widow woman gave all that she had. She would now have to trust God to meet every need she had in her life. And God would not fail her. Verse 44 says, they gave all out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything that she had to live on. This widow woman was in trouble. She was in trouble because those two little copper coins was the only thing that she had left financially. That was all. Do you know how vulnerable she made herself to God? How openly vulnerable now that she literally was totally dependent upon God. Desperately dependent. Have you ever been like that in your life? Where you were just totally vulnerable to God? For everything that He wants to pour into your life, just totally dependent? She gave all. She recognized that God's provision and His deliverance were greater for her in this trial and this season of her life than those two copper coins. See, God hears when we're scraping at the bottom of our barrel. God hears. God knows. And God wants to see what we're going to do even when things aren't going great. Are we really going to look at Him for dependence upon Him? Testimony after testimony I've heard over years where people have said, God had to take things from me to get my attention. And when he got my attention, it's amazing what he did in me. See, this, it's amazing how when we totally trust God with our lives, with our family, with our finances, with our job, that he meets our needs and fills us with peace. He also helps us oftentimes to get rid of some things in our life. Anxiety and fret and frustration and anger. Some things that have got us stretched out and stressed out. Philippians chapter 4 verse 9 says, keep putting into practice all that you've learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is telling us, listen, Christians, everything that you saw in us, everything that we taught you, put it into practice. Put your faith into practice. You say you're a man of faith, put it into practice. You say you're a woman of faith, put it into practice. When we're walking by faith, we're forced to trust God to sustain us. It's in these moments that we learn more about God and his care over us. When we're desperately dependent upon God, we truly see how much he loves us. I want you to notice something. This is very important. Jesus did not excuse this widow lady from giving because she was poor. Or because she was a widow. Jesus sat back watching those going to the plate, going to the trumpet box. He watched the wealthy in their long robes give, gave large amounts. And he watched this poor widow lady. Jesus could have gotten up and went and said, ma'am, that's okay. That's all that you have. Your faith is good. You go, take your money. But Jesus didn't do that. You notice Jesus allowed her to be faithful even in her poverty, when she had nothing else. And Jesus praised her for it. And Jesus blessed her for it. God took care of this lady. Took care of her needs. But had Jesus denied her the ability to give, she would have been denied the form of their blessings to follow. You see, Oswald Chambers said, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading it. Old Testament story for you here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. A very similar situation of a widow lady. So I read this story to you, this account, beginning in verse 1. It says, one day, the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elisha, and cried out, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. Elijah asked, tell me, what do you want me to do? What do you have in your house? She said, nothing at all except a flask of olive oil. Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. And then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour the olive oil from your flask into the jar, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after the other. And soon after, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay all your debts, and you and your sons can live off of what is left over. Listen, God meets us in our need. He meets us in our faith. This poor widow lady had went to the prophet Elisha and said, I'm desperate. Creditors are coming at me left and right, and they're threatening to take my two sons as slaves. And Elisha, the man of God, told her what to do. Just go to your house, collect all these jars, and you start filling them up with that little old flask of olive oil you had. And listen, God made it a miracle. Well, she poured and she poured and she poured and she poured to all these multitude of jars full of olive oil. And she sold that, paid off all those creditors, and still had plenty to live off of. That's what God will do for you when you're faithful, even when you think you have a little. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. See, He's not asking you to give all your money away. He's instructed us to be faithful in all areas of our life. Money is simply a tool that can become an idol that is worshipped by us. If we do not keep it in its proper place, we must learn to put God's priorities over our finances as an act of faith and obedience to Him. He will supply all of our needs. So how do you get out of a financial mess? By surrendering control over your finances to His possession, to Him and to His provision. You, like this widow, are you demonstrating your faith in God and unwavering dependence on Him for your provision? Whatever your situation, whether you're unemployed or underemployed, claim your life, claim your situation for God. Claim it all for God. And Jesus will bless you according to your faith. Plant the seeds of faith in order for God to produce a bountiful harvest in your life. See, when we hold on to that last $20 and we think that's all we've got, and you know God is calling you to be faithful, what are you going to do? Are you going to be faithful? When you hold on to that small amount of money that you get every month and you say, hey, you know, this is all I've got in the world to provide. No, you plus God equals more. You plus God equals more. So are you going to trust that little check you get, or are you going to trust God? The one who gave you life, gave you your job, gave you everything about you. Everything. Will you trust Him? You see, Alan Redpath said it this way. If you look up into His face and say, "Yes, Lord, whatever it cost," at that moment, He'll flood your life with His presence and His power. Yes, Lord, whatever it cost. It's amazing that I meet Christians who testify that when they gave to God, God took care of their needs. But when they held back, they still struggled. When they held back, they're really saying, "God, I don't trust You enough to take care of these needs. I think I can do it on my own." They struggled and struggled and struggled. But when they finally said, "God, whatever's Yours is Yours, and I'm being faithful and I'm being honest. Here it is, God." It's amazing when God sits back and watches our faithfulness. He calls us out and blesses us. Calls us out and blesses us. Listen, I want to be a person called out by God and blessed. What about you? Will you be like that widow lady who goes by in total dependence on God, gives? Or will you be like, you walk by and you say, "Clink. There's no faith in that. There may be obligation out of it. There may be a good feeling out of it, but there's no faith." And Jesus is looking for our faith. Are you totally dependent upon God today with what you have, like He wants you to be? Let's pray. Father God, today, with so many people hurting in our area, in our community, Louisiana, really, and all across the South, God, a message like this can be taken harshly in the wrong way. But God, the deeper meaning behind it is whatever our situation may be, our financial situation, is that we trust You. Just like this little widow lady did. She trusted you. And God, you provided. God, that as we trust you and according to our faith, God, you will provide. You will meet our needs. God, you will carry us through the difficult times. God, you'll carry us through when it seems to be more month at the end of the money. You'll carry us through. God, you don't have a record of failure. You have a record of success. And we say today, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.